Hey, you guys, this is Summer, and you're listening to The Good Stuff and Nothing Less. Thank you for clicking on this episode. You will not be disappointed. If you've got your imagination, use it. This is the time to use it. If you've got a multitasking mind, hopefully it can catch in line with mine because I jump around a lot, but it's a great story that I think that needs to be shared, honestly turned into a movie. No joke. This is my trip to Europe that I took in February of 2019 from February 4th to March 4th. The way it started and ended was like the seal, like the beginning and end of a book. I believe everything that happened there happened for a reason. And I want to go back, guys. But if I can be any encouragement to you to not really travel, like traveling is good, and I know a lot of people might have hesitation about that, so yes, go travel, but hopefully you see more so the bigger story at hand, the story that I had no control over, because I simply went into this situation and said, I was done emotionally. I was fighting a lot with my sister, and I said, shoot, I'm going somewhere to just be me. I just have to do this. Background information, I planned this trip a week in advance. Like when I was talking to some people on the trip, they planned it like 3 months in advance, a year in advance. I got it out of the whim. And I think even the fact that that plane ticket was available and available for so cheap, shoot. I'll tell you in this podcast. Let's get to it. The good stuff and nothing less. We start right here. I'm at the BWI airport. I just bought a ticket for $157 one way to London. Tell me, first off, how do you find $150 for a plane ticket? It was $150 back. And I was like, I couldn't fly this cheap to Texas. I couldn't fly this cheap to California. But okay, let's cross the water for this cheap. I was using WOW Air. And thank you, guys. Thank you for your short-lived company life. But you helped me have the best time of my life. But anyways, I get on that plane. And my Lizzie McGuire movie starts. I don't know if you've ever been on a plane, but you're hoping that you sit by somebody cool. You hope that you sit by, like, maybe somebody cute. I don't know. Yo, I got both. Shout out to you. Shout out to you, bro. Like, if you're listening, much respect to your girlfriend. But, like, you were fun and you helped my trip be awesome. So, imagine this. I'm at the window seat. Window seats are the best. It's nighttime. We're taking a 6-hour flight to Reykjavik Airport in Iceland, and then we're gonna finish the trip to London, but we're there for 6 hours, and you guys, we had so much fun. Like, I did not even think that 6 hours passed. So essentially it was a sleepover. It was late at night, and so I'm there by the window seat, home dude all is there at the aisle. We have nobody in between us. And then this girl, my black queen from Maryland, she's behind us. She got her head scarf on and she's ready to take a nap. I was just like, in what world would I be in this situation? Because also extra info, he's Irish, like super tall, you could tell. Again, cute, not gonna lie. And I'm like, and he's willing to talk. And y'all, we talk about like just the general like travels, but then he whips out his movie, we both had Bluetooth movies. And so we literally started watching The Dictator. His humor is a bit different than mine, but I had fun and I was just there for the moment. I was just like, this never happens. Cause if anything, I'm with old people, I'm by myself. Or just look like that don't happen. But literally, we were there for hours talking about travel. Then the girl behind us, she was like, hey, you want to share food? He brought out food and started sharing with me. Y'all, I ain't bring no food. I was set, though. Like, we were eating M&Ms. We were eating potato chips. We were having muffins. Like, what the fuck? And we watched literally two movies on that plane. We had the music, the movie playing out loud. It was like, I was like, if well, if this, okay, God, if this is how we're gonna start this thing out, then okay. So we land in Iceland. We gotta depart ways. We exchange Instagrams the right way, and me and the girl, because she's happening to go to London. Shout out to you, Tina. That is your name, right? I'm really sorry if I said it wrong. Okay. Apologies. But either way, we make our way to London. And we're talking. And it's good, you guys. Like, this is why this trip was so good, is because it's important to have people to experience things with. And I started out this trip with the prayer, God, please help me have a traveling buddy. And I didn't realize that from the very second I stepped on that plane, I had a travel buddy. And I said, I want to stay longer than just a week, because I had originally booked this flight for just 1 week. But I said, if there's a way to stay longer, then hopefully we do that. Y'all, I got both things answered, and we're going to talk about it in this section right here. So her and I, we make our ways. Eventually, like, we just get caught up. We're on different sides of the planes, and we can't, like, communicate. But we exchange information, and we're like, we're going to meet up while we're there later on. And so I make my way. I land in Gatwick Airport. It's, like, maybe 45 minutes out from the city. It's kind of like a Dulles airport from D.C., if you know the area. But, yeah, so I'm out there. I am, like, I'm confident that I can understand the train system. I kind of don't for some reason. I'm sorry. I got dry mouth. Nobody wants to hear all that. Let's give a pause. So, yeah, it takes me about 45 minutes to understand this train, because, like, I take the wrong ticket. Like, I go on the wrong train. I get there, but I take the Gatwick Express, which you got to pay extra for. And either way, I went to the ticket counter lady, and I was just like, the South thing take me done and da da da. Like, basically, I didn't understand what the different train lines meant. And they got lots of platforms. That's one thing. I think it's similarly set up like Boston, if you're in the Boston area. But for the DC Metro, we ain't that complicated. If anything, we're kind of behind when it comes to the public transportation Metro. Can I get an amen for that? But yeah, it takes me a good 45 minutes, and I'm sitting in my corner with my suitcase. I didn't bring a suitcase, guys. I just had a backpack. Y'all, I went hardcore backpacking when it comes to this spontaneous thing. But yeah, I was sitting, and I was just acting like I knew what I was doing. But if anything, I was analyzing for a good 20 to 30 minutes, which I say is a good tip. Analyze your surroundings, especially because I ain't have nowhere to go. Like, I arrived there around 11 a.m. and I could only check in at my hostel at 2. So I had quite a few hours to kill. And so I'm sitting there looking at my surroundings, seeing people running by, and I'm trying to get trains ready. Eventually I go and I get there, take the wrong train, but I get where I need to be. And we start. I end up at Victoria Station, and I go walk my butt over to Buckingham Palace. I get myself a coffee, and I'm over there with my big old sack of a backpack. It was heavy, but guys, the trees. I ain't gonna give too much, but like in the back, like to the side of the castle, to the palace, shout out to the royal family. They have the old, you could tell that these are very old trees, and I don't know about you. Is it because they call me a Pisces that I'm a tree hugger or a tree lover, or I love nature, but I was feeling connections. You could just, I don't know, when you see something that old and that great and taller than you and probably older than your own parents, like, you got to give respect. And so I say shout out. If you go to Buckingham Palace, check out the park to the right. That's just good to stroll through. And so I make it there. This is all before I even check into my hostel, which at the time was my biggest worry. I was like, y'all, side note, my worries at the time, I was going to just see what would happen. I said, I have no plans for this trip. I'm going to just breathe and be summer. But I was also like, I got to be summer on a budget. So I went to a hostel, and I'd have to, it will be a mixed dorm. And if you don't know what those are, you got to basically share a bunk beds with different travelers. Sometimes there are 8 people in a room, sometimes 4, sometimes it's all girls. Most times it's co-ed. Sometimes you can have 21 people in a room. Honestly, not that bad of an experience. But at the time, I was freaking out. I was just like thinking the actual worst, because you don't know what it's like to live with, to be with, in a room with strange men. You don't know. I will stay cautious, especially since I was a solo traveler. But everything worked out fine, guys. Everything worked out fine. No problems. But back, we're still in the setting of the trees. I'm a little worried. I'd have a little talk to myself on my phone. Y'all, phone memo recordings are like your friend. Act like you're talking on the phone, but write yourself voice memos sometimes, like just to get thoughts out. And I was doing that. I was writing out my fears, or talking out my fears. And so once I did that in that beautiful park, I said, okay, let's get ourselves over. Let's get ourselves on the underground. So I took the overground there and I took the underground and I made my way to the hostel. Wombats, y'all the real ones. I stayed with them quite a few different places after this first place, but the moment of truth was coming. I got to see this hostel for the first time. First off, it took me a good like hour and a half once I got there just to find the place, because I don't know, when it comes to reading directions that are written rather than like actual maps, I do not process information well. Y'all, I was tired. My back was hurting. It was raining, might I also add. So I'm going to just say, day one was the worst day. Yeah, it was the worst day. But I make my way there. Guess what's playing in the speakers? Honeybee by, I don't know. I forget the band, but it's a popular song. Search Honeybee, Hunnybee. Honeybee. Great song. It'll just pop up. It's got an animation on a train, of a train and a woman sitting there with a bee. You'll love the video if you haven't seen it. But yeah, I was just like, okay, this is a good omen. One of my favorite songs is playing. And so it's got a cute little hipster eclectic vibe. And I'm there. People are going in and out, acting like they know what they're doing. I go downstairs and I meet my first roommate. He's a guy from Germany. And if anything, by the end, we had the best, the closest connection, because we had a good heart-to-heart in my room. And so that moment, I was like, okay, I've met my first guy in the room. He was kind of quiet, but he was nice. And then there were 2 Korean girls in the back, and it was just us 4. And I'm like, okay, because I had never been involved in this. Like, I didn't know when people come, and it really is like a rotating type of schedule. You're going in and out, and some at the beginning you're the newbie, and then by the end you're kind of welcoming new people in and helping them understand areas and whatnot. So I settle in. I put my duvet on, my comforter, which I had no idea. I had no idea how to work that thing. And I go roam. I go check out the bar. In the lounge area, those are great. They were in the basement, and y'all, I had the best nights there. I fully recommend the Wombats in London. Please go there. And I go back and I settle for a bit. And I'll be honest, I was having some doubts once I got to just kind of relax for the first time in my bed. So these doubts were about guys potentially, because even though you can see evidence that you're going to be okay and that nobody's going to like harm you, you can still be a little antsy. And then also I'm like, I'm in London. I have no idea what I'm going to do next. And I'm like, you know what? I should probably just get a hotel because it'll be more peace of mind and all these things. Y'all, I was having a full on conversation, because when you're by yourself, who else you going to talk to? And especially because I had no desire to talk to anybody who... and my family, honestly. I was just like, I was kind of darting them. And so I was having that full-on conversation, and this is the pinnacle moment where everything changed. So I said, you know what, I'm packing my bag. And I'm going to look pretty when I walk out. I'm going to go find a hotel to stay at, and I'm going to live the luxury life. Even if it's just for a week, that'll be okay. I deserve better because I'm Summer Mensa. I take down my twist, my natural hair, and I put on some makeup because I'm like, I'm going to walk out with boldness. Even though I just checked in, I'm going to tell them, you know what, guys? I've changed my mind. I need to leave, and I'm just going to go. So I finished taking down my hair. I'm the only one in the room. I'm literally about to walk out. And then somebody walks through the door. A tall, blonde, skinny dude. Not bad looking. And so, of course, that's not something to make me stay or anything. But he was like, he was friendly. He was like, hi. And then he was trying to get his locker fixed. And that's where conversation started. So his locker wasn't working, and so, like, we were trying to, like, work some things out and help out, and he's like, oh, well, I'm so-and-so, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm Summer, and that's where the storyline begins, because let's just say I just became enthralled. Like, I was just like, you know what? This is my first friend, and conversation just went easily. Like, if I ever talk to you, dude, I don't know if that's going to happen. But I think conversation went pretty well, especially because I'm the type of girl who only bonds with girls well and hasn't really had experience talking to guys, and especially not sure how white guys actually, like, favor me or not. But either way, we hit it off, and he was just like, hey, you want to check out have you checked out the hostel? Yes, I had already checked out the hostel, but I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. I'll check out the bar and blah blah blah. We were figuring out the Wi-Fi passcode, and I was being my nice calm, trying not to freak out because I was really excited. So, and then immediately after that, y'all, I forget that I was trying to dip out the hostel. He's like, oh, do you want to grab a drink later on? I'm like, sure. And so we're in that bar. Like, you can tell, home dude, this was your power. You know how to party. You know how to reel people in and have fun. And that's straight up what he did. And I think that's all he's looking for. And I think that's all we're ever looking for, are just people who can be like, yeah, I'll cut loose. Mind you, that would be my first time drinking, like, by myself. I was 21. In America, the drinking age is very different, or very late. But that was the beginning. And so we talked, we chatted, conversation, like, fell dry a little bit, but, like, it always caught back on. And so eventually we just kind of became partners as we were meeting more people. And y'all, we met lots of people. I don't know if it was just that night, but the nights we were there, like, now I'm giving away the rest of the story, but the next we were there, we just kept meeting cool people, and it started to become like a party, just a group of friends who kept coming in and out. And I will say, I do miss seeing people. Like, that is the hard part of being in these ever-changing hostels, is new people are coming all the time, and sometimes you just gotta, the people you like, just go. So, keep friending people on Instagram, using WhatsApp. That saves you for communication. But yeah, either way, back to the first night, him and I, we go down, get a drink, we're talking, we're making friends, and if anything, he's just like, drink, all this stuff. I was definitely being peer pressured, but I drank a lot of beer. Y'all, beer is nasty. But I, like, genuinely, I've had so much that I do not want it anymore. It does nothing for me. It gets you slow drunk, and it tastes terrible. But yeah, so that was the first night, and that was kind of like the next few nights. Let's just say, so, like, to finish that night, we went on a night walk and we explored the area, and that was like, that was the best day. The worst day turned into like the best day, because I was like, y'all, I'm here. I know what I'm doing. Even though, like, I wasn't setting in my mind what I would do next. I wasn't setting that we'd become anything, but I was just feeling happy to be in the moment. And hopefully this story and this podcast just shows you, y'all, being in the moment is a special thing, and great magical, and I'm talking magical things get to happen, like mystical things get to happen when you really let the moment happen. So, like, to recap, the fact that as soon as I was about to leave and say, improve and say, you know what, I'm beautiful and I'm just gonna go to the hotel, that he walks through the door and becomes like my best friend for the entire duration of my stay. Like, that's nothing but the mystical work of God, life, coincidence happening and fully throwing me off. Because he knew that if, like, God knew that I'd be, like, thrown off by an Australian, tall, decent-looking person who's like, hey, you want to do this? Hey, you want to do that? Hey, you want to... I was just like, hell yeah! And now, in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about, like, how the momentum of the trip really started and where I went the following week, because I did not stay just a week in London. So y'all, is this podcast getting long? Hopefully you're staying along for the story. But I did not stay in London long. So a week came up. It was a long week. It was a long good week, y'all. We were out. Eventually we went out to club. So again, this dude and I, I don't know, we just clicked. That's all I can say. I tried not to present myself as a clingy person, but straight up, if I find myself enjoying the company of a person and they do vice versa, then why? And we were fine with hanging out and experiencing new things together. Why not? And so that was my whole perspective going into it. And so we'd go to clubs, we'd meet new people. Let's just say a new person I met, so I got hit on hard. No, like, that wasn't just hit on. That was, homeboy had game. He was a British guy. Again, British white guy who I'm like, okay, when it comes to the favor of African American or just African descent people, it's different in Europe, I'll say. I am basically nobody in America to people besides black men. That's just a fact. And so it was interesting being seen as like somebody intriguing over there. And so that was, let's just say it was a fun club night where I saw this guy put on some slick game, and I will forever remember you, Dan. Shout out to you. Like, it didn't go nowhere because I wasn't gonna let it go nowhere, but you helped me have a good old night my first week. So the week is coming to an end. I'm still with my buddy. We're checking out Camden Town. Check out Camden on the trains. It's like touristy, but it's beautiful. America needs one of these places. Or if we do, we got one. I don't know where it is. We check out malls, museum. And then I'm like, the whole time I'm pondering, and I'm like, am I going to stay? Am I going to stay here? Or am I going to go home? And I knew, I was like, I ain't going home. If I was willing to let my $150 ticket slip through, and $150 is a lot, but an experience, I'll take that. And so I do. And I tell my friend, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay. And he was cheering me on the whole time. If anything, dude, you were a bad influence. He was straight up always trying to get me to drink, always trying to get me to say, like, to stay or whatever. But I did need encouragement on that, so I was grateful. And so at the end, I was just like, hey, dude, like, I hear you're going to still be traveling. And I started off this trip with a little prayer to myself, to God. And I said, if I can find a travel buddy, that would be awesome. I really want a travel buddy. God did not disappoint, because straight up, because I was nervous at the point, because yes, I had a little crush on him, but I didn't want that to be like I was following him. I was just like, I just want to keep experiencing life, and if I can do it with a friend, then let's do it. And he answered yes. He was just like, yeah, sure, sometimes it's fun to travel new places with people by your side. And so I was just like, okay, cool. So it was a first for both of us. And so that put my next, it put us in London for one more week. So I was in London for 2 weeks, and then we'd follow in Vienna, then Berlin, with a little pit stop in between. So I found myself another hostel, because the rule is you can't stay for like really more than a week, at least in Wombats. And so I go over by the London Bridge, and I found myself my next hostel. And so I'll talk about more interactions with new people. Like, y'all, this was a trip of the people. Not only did I get to see how people saw me, but I got to just experience life. And people, not to take this in a wrong way, but I felt like the popular girl I've always wanted to be. You know, so I've always been the quiet girl, and I've always been to my work. I've tried to be outgoing, but like, when you're not that cute, apparently, to people or to boys, they just don't flock or whatever. Or God just had a big old bubble around me. That's my better hypothesis. And just, I had never had any takers. And so I just always thought, I was like, people don't like me all that much. But like, this trip was so revolutionary because I got like, it didn't matter about the skin color or the origin. Like, everybody was just trying to speak the same language, first of all. And so sometimes you'd meet people in bars, you'd meet people in kitchens, and you'd develop relationships. And then there was this one guy from Chicago, just randomly met, and he was just like, hey, I want to check out this tour. I didn't get to tour much of London. And he was kind of hinting. He's like, oh, I want to go. Would you want to go with me? And I did. And it's like, When you're out of the tribal mindset, you'd see that was a date. But no, it was just friends. And in my next place, when I went to my next hostel for the second week, I had met another guy. Shout out to Canada. And we checked out the art museum. And that was already something new. And when my original friend and I couldn't meet up, it was cool to just piece it around with other people. Like, at this hostel, this one was St. Christopher's near the London Bridge. The hostel kind of front desk guys, he was extra nice with me, let's just say, and he helped me out a lot, and I really liked him. I met a Brazilian guy, and I'll say, the very first day you resettle in any place is always like the hardest. So at first I thought, I'm not going to make any friends here. It's not going to be as fun as it was when I was in Wombats, but it was like God pulled through. And so I met one guy, I was brave enough to show him some of my music, and he's just like, oh, this is kind of like music from my home country, from Brazil. And he was like, you could tell he was in his 40s or something, but like, that was also a beautiful thing. It's like the age barrier didn't mean much. And that's where I really got my lesson. Like, people are people, and they want you. You want them as much as they want you. And that's something I do admire about our generation, at least, is that we don't have much racism in our bones. Like, we definitely have prejudice and prejudice for sure, but at like face value, we're pretty accepting. And I got a lot of that, guys. And there was this other 40-year-old guy, 44, shout out to Wade. I met him in Wombats. He probably sensed it. I was like kind of not interested because I was like, oh, you're, to me, I was kind of like nervous because he was older. He was also Australian. He had long blonde hair, and he was talking to my friend, and I should just, yeah, my friend Brandon, just to make that easy. He's a guy who I've been like was traveling around with. And so at first I was like, no, I wasn't feeling conversation, but eventually, like, we had exchanged numbers on WhatsApp, and we were in a group chat, and like, he became, or just showed himself to be like such a sweet guy with the best intentions, and he was being so encouraging. He was even calling me out. He was just like, do you like so and so? And I'm like, yeah, thanks for calling it out. But he was like, he was genuinely like my kind of like an angel, like just checking in on time to time and being like giving the best compliments. So let's jump back into the storyline. I met at this hostel, the second hostel, and y'all, I'm starting to run out of money. Shoot, like, I know I'm, but the thing is, I was already expecting, because I had won an award, and the money was still pending, and so I was having to call up, like, y'all, I had to be businesswoman, like, I had to go through so many people to be like, hey, I know that I was, you told me that I'd get this in January and I'm happening and I planned this trip with the thought that I'd get it and I'd like to keep traveling. So could you please help me out? And y'all, God do not disappoint. Let's just say, though it was a hoop to get through, I eventually got exactly what I needed to keep going. And it took like a good week and a half to stress that out. Like that first week, we were still asking about, like, we were trying to get that sorted out. And I didn't actually get the money I needed until that third week, and that was in Vienna. And that's where the rest of the story goes. So I take a flight over to Vienna with Brandon, and we go over. And we get acclimated. Let's just say my view of Vienna, beautiful city. You can tell it's got a lot of culture. It feels rich, kind of. Like, it's got a lot of old culture. I did not, on this trip, in general, to Europe, I didn't explore a lot of history. But I knew that I was trying to save money, if anything. And you can have a save money trip, or you can have a go sightsee trip. And so we went there, beautiful place, met new people. And there I eventually got the money I needed. I had to borrow for my dad to make, like, just to hold me over. And then I got my 1,000 and I was back in the game, guys. I was back in the game and I was living life, y'all. I was living irresponsibly. Like, I was just spending. And I think that's exactly how it needed to be. I think I lived true to the scripture that, like, I think it's in Mark or Luke. I think Luke. But, like, if he has the birds, then he has you. And not to worry about where you're going to sleep the next day. Like, I saw scripture start to come alive. And specifically, a cool story starts in Vienna, ends in Budapest, because I had faith in exactly what he said. God was like, don't worry about it. He's like, don't worry about where you're going to sleep next. I got you. And he did. So that story's coming up next. So you guys, to intro into this next story, let's just say by this time I was keeping a list. So not a creepy list, but I was saying I found that I had met 55 people up to that point, like people's names who I could remember, people who I felt like could be great friends. Honestly, like that's something I felt passionate about at the end of this trip. I was just like, why do we have to depart ways? Like, why can't we be friends? Why do we have to go back to school? Or at least, why can't we build a bigger connection? But either way, this nice little story about the evidence that God had my back. So first off, he had my back because he helped me be the businesswoman I needed to be to get the money I was promised. And so I was able to extend that trip, but my friend Brandon, he was about to dart. Like, he had to go on a different trip. And so I was going to be by myself for the next 4 days. But the thing is, I was going more so on his schedule, so I didn't book another hostel. And I was like, I can book the same hostel that I've been at for the most recent 3 days and add another 4 days. But that's kind of boring. And this is how much, like, the universe is listening. Is I said this that morning. I was just like, you know what? I really want to go on a train ride. And I'd love to see the countryside, not just the cities, because a lot of this trip I was in the cities. And cities get kind of old, honestly. Lots of cities are modeled in the same way, though everybody has their own beautiful special character. But yeah, home dog, he had dipped out and I was by myself, and it's not the best feeling, I'll say. It was a bit hard. I had a lot of down moments too on this trip, just understanding my bearings and who I wanted to be and blah 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 blah. By the way, in this country, we ain't speaking English that much anymore. The hostel, yes, but every day we're hearing lots of hello and guten tag and all this stuff. So that was getting interesting. But that day I said, I don't want to stay in this hostel. If I must, I'll just recheck in and all that stuff. But I happened to bump into this beautiful Korean girl. Again, these people coming through. Her name is Sehi, and we met the first day. I called her out because we were on the same floor and we were going into the elevator. I'm like, I love your outfit. You are so cute. Like, and so we started a conversation really easily. And yeah, and so we were planning to meet later, but we never did until the perfect time when we both had to be checking out. And so we were starting conversation, and then she was just like, oh, I'm going to go to a cafe. And then she says, would you want to go? And I'm like, of course, I have a new buddy. And this is genuinely, this is how God moves. He moves through other people, guys. Like, he puts different people in your place. So I know you might feel like you need a best friend, but like, this is how you experience the world sometimes, is through him putting the right people you need and bouncing around and all that stuff. But yeah, we talked. We had the deepest conversation ever. I got to understand her culture, why they make the food they make. I got to understand about her dad. May he rest in peace. Love you, girl. And just, she shared some of her doubts, and we got real when we were in a cafe, and it was like an old historical cafe, and you could tell we were definitely tourists. Side note, there are not a lot of Black people in Vienna. That was the most scarce place I've ever been. I got many stares when I'd walk with Brandon, and of course many stares when I was with Sehi. But yeah, it all wraps up. We basically love each other at the end. At this cafe, and she's like, oh yeah, well, I have to go catch a train to Budapest in 45 minutes. And she was, and so I'm thinking, I'm like, wait, I had this in the back of my head, but I said, I wanted to take a train ride. And she said, it's like a few hours. So I'll be able to see the countryside. It was still afternoon. And I was just like, Summer, this is going to be a risk. I'm going to have to take another risk, just like I did with Brandon when I said, hey, can I tag on with you? But I was just like, Sehi, would you mind if I came with you? and like, if I travel Budapest with you, because I don't have anywhere to go right now. And then she's just like, actually, I'd really love that. Y'all, this is when I realized, oh, y'all, I'm in a movie. I am for real in a movie. But I only had 45 minutes. The reason why this was such a kicker is because I didn't have my bag with me. It was still in the hotel because we just went on an excursion, and sometimes hostels let you keep your bags there while you're waiting for your next place or waiting for your next train or whatever. So I had to run all the way across the city, literally across the city, guys. So I want to give you a good reference. I can't. Let's just say I went into an action movie. I was just like, so she told me the station we had to meet up at. It was a major train station. And she's just like, okay, it takes off at this time. Hopefully you can make it. And if not, we can find another train. And so I go. I get my butt over. I start walking, trying to retrace my steps. I could have gotten to the place I needed to be in about 20 minutes, but I was walking and I got a little turned around, and then I realized I can take the train. So I take the underground, I get my butt, and y'all, like, I don't know this place. I don't know the language. I've never been here. So I was picking up a little bit of the German that I was learning, and I could remember just different. Oh, I want to remember the name of my train station, but I was picking up and using my inference clues to piece together where I needed to go. And y'all, it worked. I went back to the hostel. I got myself back. I got right on that train and tried to ride and looked at the map to go to the major train station. Y'all, I got there with like 5 minutes to spare just in the station. I hadn't found the plate, my actual train yet. And so I'm looking, of course, everything's in German, and I'm like, where do I go? And I'm at that point, I'm panicking. I am winded. Y'all, I have a cough at this time. Like, I've had a cough since kind of when the trip started. It was pretty bad. And so I have asthma. I'm coughing. I'm sweating with this big old rock on my back, So I'm looking at the screen, and it says I have 2 minutes, and I'm still haven't found my train. And then I see like Budapest platform 10. I run up the escalator, run to the right to some stairs, and I dart. Nobody's, like, I see a train at the platform, and I'm like, I didn't have time to buy a ticket. And so I asked the guy, do you speak English? Like, it's just a conductor. So it's kind of like Polar Express, y'all. Like, literally, conductors are outside those trains waiting for people. I say, is this going to Budapest? He's like, yes. And I said, I don't speak. Do you speak English? He's like, a little bit. But I was like, can I buy this? Can I buy a ticket on the train? He's just like, yeah, Budapest, go. And I was just like, but can I buy a ticket on the... I was worried at the moment because I didn't want to steal a ride, and then also I didn't want them to kick me off in a random city on the way. But I got there just in time. I was the last person to get on the train. As soon as I got in, the conductor got in and we moved. Guys, that does not just happen. I was sweating. I had to calm down for a good 5 minutes before I even found Sehi. And then I went and found her and I was just like, I'm here. Yo, I have a picture to celebrate it. It is my profile picture on Instagram. That was the day Summer knew. Summer knew she was fire. She was the fire she always knew she was. But like, the world confirmed it. And I realized, I'm like, God is on my side. Because genuinely, when I looked at that platform, I only had 2 minutes to spare. When I got there, I'm sure that the train should have taken off by then, but they waited for me. Yo! And then we go, we see the countryside. I loved seeing the architecture in Austria, seeing the windmills. It was just, that's what intrigues me so much about going to, I didn't know what to expect, but you see how different places treat their land. It was a lot of open land, and you saw how different neighborhoods treated what the word neighborhood meant. Houses were close together, but they were asymmetrical, and like they were asymmetrical constructions, and just beautiful compared to America. I think America's very boxy, kind of cookie cutter when it comes to the typical suburban life, and I love that. And we finish off. We go to Budapest. It was a time in my life. Not much partying. It was a lot more formal girl living. This was the more luxury as a hostel could get. We split our room. Tell me, how does this happen? How a girl decides to rent in a hostel, a solo room with two beds. And guess what? She gets a traveler who tags along, and we both can sleep in our separate beds and go and explore the city. I don't want this to get too long, so I'm gonna summarize. Budapest had the best architecture that I had seen so far. I loved it. It was more gothic. Is that a better word? I don't know. It was a darker feel. And the river, y'all, it's funny how you get to learn the area you reside in, even if it's for a few days. So I'd been running around the river and we took tours there. Right by the bridge. I don't know these big names, but by the Parliament building, we saw those things. We went to a restaurant. We made a new Korean friend, and I got to learn some Korean words, y'all. It was fun. But I'm gonna end that little piece of the story there. Let's just say we lived a finer life, and I still did not care about the money I was spending. I was having fun. I was living life. And now we finish off in Berlin. So y'all, my little excursion, vacation from the vacation, went successfully. I was missing my friend quite a bit because we, like, when you're at the hip with somebody, I don't know, you get used to them. And so that trip had taken it away, because shoot, the architecture was just great. The people, we had to jump right into the public transportation. And I'll say, as I finish out, the place I got most intimate with was the public transportation of every major city. I loved seeing the character that each city gave or put into their train stations and their subway cars and whatnot. So, long story short, what do I do? Do I fly? Yes, I fly to Berlin, to Germany. And y'all, I was scared. I'm like, this is where the Holocaust happened. And do they take kindly to black people? Yes, they do. I'll say right off the bat, I did not experience any major racism. I did have two questionable moments. One in Vienna with a guy selling food. And then one in a German mall. Like, I would say, like, the other German older people, like, one was just making nice conversation with me. Nobody, I had no problems with. Well, one lady, she was older. I could have sworn she was hissing at me in German. I do not know what she said. So if anything, she looked really crazy, but she turned her head and crouched like a witch. I don't know. And she had her clothes and she just looked at me and so like, oh. And I was just like, I think she just said something hateful to me, but like, I literally have to, I can only let it go because I have no idea what she said to me. If anything, she just looked really stupid doing it. But to get that out the way, no major racism, y'all. I was blessed on this trip. Life is not that bad. as scary as I think stereotypes and hearsay tells us. But I'm in Berlin. I get there that first day. Again, the first day is the most difficult. You're getting your bearings right, understanding the stations. I mapped it all out. I had to wait for Brandon to come in. And y'all, like, it was a good finishing spot. Berlin is an eclectic city. It's new. Like, it's a city, it's a place like I've never been before. Like, London didn't look like it. No place in America looks like it. And they say specifically because it's been rebuilt so many times and it has its own new artistic culture every time it's been rebuilt in history from past wars. But like right now I've never seen so many slanted buildings and art on, like, sick art on buildings. I've never seen so many Aldis in my life and littles, but yeah. And also, I've never seen so many men taking care of their babies. Like, it is, I could say 100%, if it's not Berlin, if it's not Germany, then Berlin definitely is a place that values their care of their children. Like, the parents are in their children's lives. We were by a park and they, like, the kids got nice knit outfits. Yeah, they got nice knit outfits. You can just tell. And their strollers for the babies, like, you can tell they care. And you can tell they put a lot of money into family care. But either way, how does the story end for me? At this point, we're on, like, week three-ish, four. And so I'm waiting on Brandon to meet up, and I'm excited to see him. Also, throughout it, I was like, homeboy, I can't tell. Like, are we friends? Do you like me? That was also a question I couldn't tell. I knew I liked him and I wasn't scared. Well, I was scared to say it, but if anything, I was becoming more brave and I was going to at least say it at one point. I was just like, I don't know, but I'm going to at least throw it out there. So that was also in my mind causing me a little problems, but I was still meeting people. So they had a rooftop bar. Honestly, the bar scene at this Wombats, we stayed at Wombats again. So I stayed at Wombats in London, Vienna, and now Berlin. This one was a little weak. Cool, cute bartender. Hey, good conversation. But either way, we went up there. We talked to some people. There's always somebody to meet, and I think that's beautiful. If you speak English, there's somebody to meet. Which, and I think my friend, he made a good point of that. So the second, third day, we go clubbing. That's all I really remember about Berlin, is we went to clubs. We're in a club called Tresser. And I think that's the coolest part of my trip in general, is going to clubs, because I just did not go to any clubs in America. And that's kind of a shame that my first clubbing experience was in Europe, but I'm happy. Like, it was a whole lot of techno music, EDM, but it was the perfect place for me, for what I like. I was happy. So we went to this club. We met mutual friends, three also Australian guys, and so I'm the only girl in this group, but we go to this club. It's like 12 a.m. I'm near tired, but like, we go. I ain't looking that cute, but I did have like this nice tank top that I kind of whipped off when nobody was looking, and then they're like, oh, okay, Summer's here to club. Y'all, how have you followed along to this story? Have you followed along to all the talking I'm doing? But either way, I whip out my pink top and this crowd of black, just German kids wearing all black, with smoke all in the air, and I'm there to party. I have my hair done. I am flipping my hair like crazy, and y'all, the party starts. Let me just finish. But we partied so hard that we did not leave until 8 a.m. that morning. Like, it was a Wednesday night, people. No, it was a Monday. Was it Wednesday? Either way, it was a weekday. When we got out, we were looking like zombies, and you could tell people were looking at us strange, like they were worried, because substances were taken, and like, we did not look okay, and you could tell people were just going to work. So I was just like, you know, I usually do not. All I could say throughout that trip is, because I was around, let's just say I was around people smoking and people, I knew I smelt like different things even when I walked into the like our hostel room, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I have to be this girl, but I'm having my party experience. I tried to be as quiet as possible, but let's just say there was a lot of stuff going on. So I was in that club, there was smoke everywhere, I was a sick pickle. It's hard to mesh with guys, honestly. Like, my friend was there, but I'll call him out and say guys change around guys. They act more shallow, and she straight up acted more shallow, whatever. But like, I had my own fun, and let's just say we took it to a higher level. And when I took it to the higher level, and it was funny. Like, so I've never been automatically talked to in German so many times, but when I was going to the bar area, I just saw a guy, like, it was just some guy standing by the corner, and it's like they were positioned like they knew, like they were at army, like they were at their post in the army. But he's just like, he whispered something in German, and I said to Brandon, I'm like, I don't know what he said, but he whispered something, and he's just like, oh yeah, he's asking you if you want drugs. And I was like, oh. So they were very okay with doing it, and I'm not gonna lie, we tried. I definitely, let's just say, I had my first fun time. That's how we ended up staying at the club for 8 hours, for till 8, because we got there around 1, didn't leave till 8. We made friends, like, girl, we met this girl, like, straight up, this girl, she was dancing in her underwear. Like, I came up to her. I was just like, honey, are you okay? Like, because you could definitely tell she was under the influence of something. And, like, the club next door was the kind of club where you get to wear clothes are optional. Like, literally, the flyer said, clothes are optional. But, like, this one, I was just like, honey, you understand your butt is out. You're just wearing underwear. It's black, so it matches your black tank top. But are you okay? And she's just like, yeah, I'm okay. It's fine. I know what I'm doing. I was just like, okay, honey, just be careful. But y'all, like, to summarize all this, you make the funniest, weirdest friends in the weirdest places if you let yourself. And it really is about the environment. Like, this is going to sound weird, but church is more likely to happen, or you can find the church more in a bar or in a club than you can in a cathedral. Like, and I did see some cool cathedrals while I was in Europe. Vienna had a beautiful one. Y'all can see some of my Instagram pictures if I post them back up. The Summer Mensa, at the Summer Mensa. But yeah, like, y'all, hopefully you're still not, like, I'm still kind of getting tripped up, because I'm like, I don't know whether to talk about, like, drug use or not. Like, I know I brought it up, and I'm not fully comfortable with it, because let's just say I ain't a drug user, but, like, when you try something for the first time, you try it. But, like, just know I'm not, like, condoning any poor lifestyle choices. All I'm condoning is making your choices with trust in God and in this life. Like, to me, God goes beyond just the cross now. Like, God is the world, and the world is talking back. The universe is talking back. And I know I sound all hippie and spiritual, but like, this is the only way you're really gonna like live to your fullest is if you understand the rules of the world. Like, I mean, the natural rules, the cycles of life, and understand that there is a flow and a reason to everything. And for this trip, I think my reason was to really open up and be myself and really prove, just prove to myself and how God proved to me just how much he had me and how much this is what he values. This is what he values when it comes to the church. It's not about meeting up with watching a pastor on stage. It's not bad, but like, it's getting to the core of people. It's meeting people and being the needs for people. That's really what it's about. Yeah, being the needs for people in the moment. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. You know what I'm saying. So I just had to slip a little sermon in that one. But I know I was all over the place. That was kind of how the progression of time went. I went from London, 2 weeks. Vienna, 4 days. Budapest, 4 days. Maybe 5 days. I don't know. Yeah, and then Berlin, a week. Y'all, shoot, I met this drunk guy in Berlin. This is when, and how this story all ends is I go and kind of confess my liking to my friend. At first, I didn't think that my trip would end, but also, like, I kept telling everybody, I'll stop traveling when my funds stop. And they stopped. And they kind of stopped before I knew that they stopped. Because, again, I was just purchasing emotionally, and I do not regret a thing. But that also happened, like, as soon as my funds got too low was also the time when I had said, oh, I kind of like you and I can't tell if you like me. And you want to know how it answered, how it finished? It finished with a, oh, no, it's not a good idea to like, have a relationship while traveling. So it ended in rejection. I got let down in a nice way. So I'll never know if he actually liked me, but we stayed partners. Like, we stayed partnered at the hip. If you know me, you'll probably get to see pictures of us or whatever. But like, I thank you, dude, for at least the experience. Like, I hope you're okay. And I am learning to be okay with life, because let's just say after, it was a large shift because I had to go back to life with my parents. And I had spent literally an entire month by myself. So when I got rejected, unfortunately, that's when we started splitting paths. Things got awkward, unfortunately. You guys, here's some advice. Just communicate. Don't let things get awkward. Don't ruin what, like, it's okay to say your feelings, but it's not okay to leave things like up in the air and not say what you feel and assume bad things when there are no bad things going on. But either way, that's what happened. I finished out in Berlin and I needed a little help. No, I need a lot of help getting home financially, but it was time to come home. I had a bit, my cough hadn't left. Like, I literally had a cough for an entire month. And I think I developed an allergy. Genuinely, I think I was allergic to beer. Like, straight up. And any product that had wheat in it or whatever. I'm still recovering from that. But finished off. I made a good group of friends. Even while, like, my main friend had left. And I was officially by myself that last week, and I was sick, and I was pretty sad. Like, genuinely, I sounded terrible. I felt sorry for my hostel roommates, but I met a group of four students from America. That was the first time I really met up with Americans, and so we chilled, and they invited me just to, like, hang down at the bar with them. And then I did meet this one guy. Nay, I will never forget you. I will never forget that man. He was like, you could tell he was in his 20s. He was drunk. He had the sass of a Brazilian with the look of a German. He was blonde, and he just told me about all of his stories. He gave me the most profound advice. I don't even think he knew what he was saying. He gave, like, it's funny how, like, these wise old people give the advice comes when people are drunk or high or whatever. He was mad drunk. He drank an entire bottle of vodka. I saw him doing it, but I got to see, he approached conversation with me, and I think, and I talked to anybody, so, y'all, this conversation is everywhere, but I hope you got entertained by all of my jumping around. So I want to give an MVP to my favorite, shout out to the best, to the best people I met on this trip. Shout out to Nay, Sehi, Brandon, shout out to Wade, shout out to Nikita, shout out to Mika, shout out to Alex, shout out to Ebony, Dan. Ooh, y'all, I had, who else? Anybody else? Oh, shout out to, who was my Spanish lover? He was the guy at the front desk in London. He was so sweet. Genuinely so sweet. He was cute. And I could tell he liked me. And I could have liked him if I let myself. But I don't know. But we should have exchanged some type of communication. Julio! I think that, is that his name? Well, you're Julio, sorry. But yeah, shout out to you guys. Thank you. You were a part of a story bigger than you probably think. If I can give any advice, guys, go out. Do your own artistic venture. I call that an artistic venture. The world was my canvas. I know we all have something driving us, so I just say go for it. Like, let the world, let God answer you. This, like, he answers where your wildest dreams exist, okay, guys? And so I'll leave you with that nice, profound word. Thank you for listening to The Good Stuff and Nothing Less. Y'all, I went to Europe. I'm going back whenever I get the money. If you want to go fund me, like, genuinely, I need a GoFundMe. I did not want to come back, and it was very hard. But I learned some. I'm learning great lessons being back. I'm changing as a person. And y'all, you don't know who I'm about to become. I don't know who I'm about to become, but, like, I like who I'm becoming, guys. Like, God ain't about constriction. God wants freedom. But I'm going to end it right there. Thank you for listening. You were listening to Summer Mensa. Have a good life, y'all. Bye-bye.